Thank you, Brother Charlie. This is the word of the Lord through Paul, through the Holy Spirit. As we looked at the relationships that we can have with people, as Charlie mentioned, we sometimes think of some who would be our Timothys. We spoke of that in terms of someone we can teach. If you teach a class, you have a room full of Timothys, people who will learn from you and who want to, most of the time, who want to learn from you. Well, we don't always think of Timothy as Paul's son. Paul said he was his spiritual son. We come to a time as Paul's nearing the end of his life. So Timothy is, in a spiritual sense, beginning to think here when he gets this letter from his mentor, from his leader, from his teacher, from Paul. Timothy is thinking, oh no, Paul won't be with me forever. He's going out on his own. Of these final teachings Paul gave to his spiritual son, he emphasizes a very important point. We're going to talk about that this morning, about turning away from the truth. Some of us remember when UFO sightings and Bigfoot sightings were questioned because they obviously lacked some facts. They certainly lacked a value of truth. Well, surprise, the times are changing. It seems like communications today, no matter how bizarre, no matter how lacking in evidence, are pretty much always accepted at face value. Some days, my wife knows I talk to the TV now and then. Some days, I think we need to have somebody just say, that's not true, that's a lie. You don't hear that often. And we should always hope for, but not always expect, the truth. Rose will also tell you how upset I get when politicians or others say things that are not true and nobody questions it. Sometimes we don't know if it's true or not true, but sometimes we do. So my TV doesn't always hear me so well. But we find out that few people, if any, are checking the facts, and it is truly troubling. I actually know of one so-called fact-checking organization that doesn't always tell the truth. And that makes it worse, like a lie and a lie and a lie or something. So I'm beginning to wonder, and I'm wondering out loud with you this morning, does the truth matter anymore? Is it important? Should I quit yelling at my TV about truth? What is truth and what isn't? Well, of course, the truth does still matter. But of course, it's a problem when the truth is not always told. I heard of someone saying, when questioned about something they said, they were simply telling the truth several different ways. It's not telling the truth if you're telling the truth different ways. That's being manipulative and dishonest. It is amazing to me to see how things that should be a big issue are ignored, and some things irrelevant, overestimated, and understood. Or misunderstood or not. So I kind of bemoan, aren't people accountable for their words anymore? Not to mention a double standard being enforced on those who actually expose the lies being told. This is a true story. I can hardly describe my disappointment when I learned of a politician who was recorded with a tape recorder, or digital or something, telling lies to a group of ministers. And then it was found out that one of the ministers had his recorder going, and he made the lies public. And the very first thing that happened is a lot of people said, he shouldn't have done that. He shouldn't have been recording that. That's wrong for him to record the senator when he's talking. They took it out on the guy who exposed the lie. I'm still not over it all these years later. That is wrong. I often remember, and I probably remind you often, that the scriptures, I just did earlier, speak just as much today as they did when they were first written. They are relevant to our daily lives because the one who made us and knows us wrote it for us to know. It's a message from heaven. Just like last week I told you, if you want to hear the word of the Lord, read your Bible. If you want to hear it out loud, read it. We can do that in our day. These words are true. They're not all always self-obvious and self-evident how they are true, but they are, in fact, the ultimate definition of truth. So this is the matter of speaking the truth. This is no different. In Paul's letters to Timothy, he talks specifically about those who are dishonest and lead others away from the truth. Be upset when you're hearing things that are not true. Because if you begin to accept it, you will add to its power to deceive. People who deceive others and lead them astray, lead them away from God's way, they usually, if not always, do this for personal gain, for prosperity or popularity. But in religion, science, business, civil service, almost anywhere, people have been exploited for someone else's personal gain. And this isn't new. It's been going on for centuries, even for millennia. All of this is a result of the distortion and twisting of the truth. It is a result of the original fall humans had into sin. But as I have made clear, it seems today it is becoming more and more a problem. I hope I'm wrong about that. But here's why I'm going over this. Here's why I'm sharing my pet peeves about people who don't tell the truth. Because we need to recognize the truth. And we always need to stay with it. Turn to it and stay with it. There's a wealth of wisdom in these few verses that we've read this morning. We're going to focus mostly on verses 2 through 4 this morning. Timothy, Paul says, you should be prepared in season and out of season. Now, I've told you before, I think the NIV is an excellent translation, but once in a while it says something in a way that isn't so terribly clear to us. And so I really like a lot better the New English Bible's translation of this phrase, which says, press it home on all occasions, convenient or inconvenient. Tell the truth no matter what, no matter when. The command implies that each Christian leader and probably all of the believers as well must be on duty, take advantage of every opportunity for service in God's kingdom by always being ready to speak the truth. Paul urged Timothy to stand by and stick to this message, the truth. Paul shared the truth with him, and Timothy was, of course, to share it with others. We reminded each other this morning that love is the greatest commandment, but the one thing Jesus commanded us to do when he left the earth, make disciples. We should do that in love. We should not abandon loving God and each other and others, but we need to make disciples, and we need to know the truth so that we can tell them the truth so that they can tell others the truth. That's kind of a nutshell of our whole job as believers on this earth until the Lord comes back again. This reference is probably to all the varied tasks of ministry and not just the work of preaching. Interestingly, that phrase in season and out of season may, because of the way the Greek language is used, it may point to Timothy or to his hearers. Or, as Greek loves to do, it means both. If you point it more at the congregation, Paul urged Timothy to declare the truth whether or not his hearers found it comfortable or convenient to listen. Tell it anyway. In light of verses 3 and 4, that is probably what Paul intended the most. We should not apply the command in a way that violates Jesus' earlier warning in Matthew 7, verse 6, where he said, "Do not give to dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs." But we need to realize that it is always seasonable, it is always a good opportunity to speak of and proclaim the gospel. You will remember in Ephesians 5:16 and elsewhere, we read we are to make the most of every opportunity. You hear me say that often. I think that's an important thing for our daily lives. I have learned more and more that God sends people into my life and into your lives just at the right time, just when needed, just for the right purpose. Someone that you come in contact with this week may need to hear the truth from you as it applies to them. It is not clear if Paul intended it, but his next three imperatives may refer respectively to intellect, conscience, and will. Timothy was to correct error by the use of reasoned arguments. Make sense when you correct errors. He was to rebuke a straying conscience whenever the need appeared. And he was to give hope to the faint-hearted by providing tender encouragement in the face of discouragement or opposition. Paul qualified the way Timothy's obeyed by use of the phrase, "with great patience and careful instruction." He had to use patience to prevent the display of raw or grating anger or a tendency to quit under pressure. Paul had just told him earlier, chapter 2:24, the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Now, we don't know if that means Timothy had a history of those things, but we do know that he was to avoid those problems. To make the correction and rebuke useful, it must be accompanied by sound, clear, reasonable teaching. Now, Dr. Guthrie observes, "Christian reproof without the grace of long-suffering has often led to a harsh, censorious attitude intensely harmful to the cause of Christ. To rebuke without instruction is to leave the root cause of error untouched." So, when you're helping somebody get through a problem, be gentle, be kind, be loving. But also make clear the truth as compared to the mistake or the error. Paul described three things that would develop as evidence of a restless craving for things new and different. First, listeners would no longer put up with sound doctrine or listen to wholesome teaching, says Williams. They would find that the content and demands of the gospel distasteful to them. That is why we're talking about this. Because if we ever turn away from the truth, if we don't stop after we've gotten off of God's path, we'll get lost. We need to remember that Paul is writing to his spiritual son Timothy, who is what? A pastor of a church. He's instructing a pastor of a church how to fix errors that cause people to stray from God's path. So we see that Paul was writing to believers. In the previous chapter, chapter 3, Paul had described the false teachers. Now he warned that even professing believers could feel the influence of an attraction to unfamiliar and untrue ideas and the wandering, immoral path that is not God's way. Listen again to our text verses. "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." If you think that something that is taught here in this church is not true, it is your responsibility to ask about it, to find out about it. If we start, I pray I never will, but you know what? This happens to very good people sometimes. And it happens to good people sometimes if we don't hold each other accountable, if we don't hold each other up in love. And sometimes it's the loving thing to do, if somebody says something that is not true, to say, wait a minute, let's talk about that. Now, I'm not suggesting we've had this problem. I'm suggesting we need to work really hard to never have this problem. Okay, I think that's really the intent of Paul's writing to his spiritual son. They had had some false teachers. They had had some problems there. They had somebody who was teaching things that were not of God, false. And so they had to confront them. And I'm praying often that we avoid that problem. And we're talking about Paul's instruction. How do you avoid it? Paul outlined in our text two results of spiritual wandering. He said, first, the listeners would turn away from hearing the truth of the gospel. Second, he says they will turn aside to myths. I am saddened to tell you, I'm happy it's not here, but I'm saddened to tell you that there are some Christian churches that are, in fact, absorbed in and teaching and declaring to be truth myths. Things that are false. So we need to be diligent guardians of such truth. The verb translated to turn aside, it's almost a joke in hidden in this text. It's a strong term used medically to describe wrenching a limb out of joint. I have gratefully never had that. I've been with people who had it, and I know that it is extremely painful. So imagine somebody taking this myth and turning your arm and wrenching your shoulder or elbow out of socket. That's what he's describing here. Also, maybe we could imagine someone trying to pat themselves on the back so hard and so much that their shoulder or elbow are distorted out of joint. The term myths is a reference to all those religious errors that can flood the imagination and mind of the listeners because they desire to turn away from the truth. You should notice, as I have noticed, that sometimes turning away from the truth is very elaborate, very complicated. People make complex myths in order to turn away from sometimes simple and obvious truth. But because they look for someone to soothe the itch rather than satisfy the thirst, they would abandon the truth without realizing that desertion. Many who have turned away from a commitment to the gospel in our times fit this description. Again, I pray that will never be said of us. I believe this text reaches beyond religious teaching to all kinds of teaching and communication. We are certainly seeing people follow after those who suit their own desires. The problem with this type of fellowship is that it denies a standard. It negates the standard of moral law and absolute truth. That is what happened already in the first century church. It has popped up frequently in every century since, and we are not immune. This is why we're going over this in some detail, because we need to be so cautious. We need to be on guard. We need to never let what happened to some of those churches we read of. We just finished our series on the seven letters to the seven churches. We have to be cautious not to let those errors come to our church. We need to be dedicated to the truth in order to avoid errors. I personally have seen and heard many politicians barge across the line between speaking the truth and telling people what they want to hear. And it is not right. I have seen, in fact, in my short time in the Minnesota legislature, I've seen many people with good intentions simply cross over that line and tell people what they want to hear. It never ends well, although sometimes it lasts a long time. We're talking about standards and the truth. And a world without a compass has no direction. A world without standards has no way to measure. Leaders and followers that are fueled by passion alone are always headed for destruction, if not tempered with and guided by the truth. That passion and emotion must be seated in truth for it to be of any real use to humanity, to anyone. I think I have the text on the screen. Earlier, Paul had warned about this same thing in 1 Timothy 6:3-10. I think it'll be there. Follow with me, please. If anyone teaches false doctrines and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, he is conceited and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of corrupt mind, who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So, Paul reminded Timothy earlier than the part we read, if you love money too much, you won't stay with the truth. The truth is, God will provide our needs. We don't need to decide ahead of time how much money that takes. God will lead us in that very thing. Paul knew and shared with his spiritual son Timothy, there is both a moral compass, which is teaching that lines up with godliness, and absolute truth, the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ. The result of abandoning both compass and truth for controversy and quarrels is envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction. That's a recipe for a problem, isn't it? Now, it isn't easy. I'm not suggesting that it's easy. I am telling you that it is incredibly important, and it's relatively simple. To know the truth means we will be familiar with God's Word. We'll read it regularly, often, together or alone. We need to know the truth because distortions of it are not always easy to spot. We just read in the text, and so I'm not going to ask this you to answer this question out loud, but think about if somebody said, money is the root of all evil. I've heard that. I've heard people say that. I've heard people say, the Bible says money is the root of all evil. And what would we say? I don't think it's up there yet, but we know the Bible says love of money is the root of all evil. Money isn't evil. It's a tool God sometimes uses. So we need to... That's kind of a simple and not even a new example. But you will hear people say, well, the Bible says this. If you don't know what the Bible says about that, you could fall for the beginning of this slippery slope. You could begin to fall for wandering away from the truth. Nobody, no false teacher says, all right, I'm going to take this whole church, everybody in it, and we're all going to become heathens. That wouldn't happen, would it? We wouldn't fall for that. That would be to try to get all the way to the end immediately. What happens is subtle changes. People tell subtle little lies, and then a little bit bigger, and a little bit bigger, until if we accept those, then we're wandering. We might not realize at first we're on the wrong path. If somebody says the Bible says this is what we should do, and you didn't know that it doesn't say that, well, then we think we're doing what God wants. And we think we're being obedient. We think we're okay. Until we know the truth and find out we've wandered away from it. We're probably, to extend the hiking analogy, we're probably already lost by that time before we realize we're on the wrong path. Well, maybe enough said. As I've indicated, I do not believe we are experiencing this problem here at Faith Church. I believe there are churches on the island who have actually begun to wander from the truth. I'm not naming names or pointing fingers. But when we hear them talk about the Bible says this or that, we need to know if they are still in the truth. And then help those who have wandered from it. I encourage believers in Jesus Christ to be truth bearers and to remain steadfast in the truth, not because Pastor Tom thinks so. I didn't write this. Through the Holy Spirit, Paul reminded his spiritual son Timothy and the whole church the importance of being steadfast in the truth because it is God's will. There are people who are seeking the truth and need to know that it still exists. There are people who have been deceived and need to be pulled back onto the path of truth, God's truth. They need to know that the truth is important, that it's still right, and it is God's will for us. We should hold people accountable to the truth. We should hold each other accountable. As I said, I really mean it seriously. If you hear something you think is untrue, you need to talk with somebody. Talk with me, or if I'm the one who said it, talk with the elders. We need to hold each other accountable. Because, you know what? Anybody can fall. Anybody can fall from the truth. We could ask for a show of hands. Nobody wants to. Nobody plans to. Nobody intends to. But anybody can fall from the truth if we don't help each other. We should lead people with the truth. It is in this truth that our Lord Jesus Christ is exalted. He is our King. It is in truth that a nation is grounded. The truth of God's word, the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by that truth that we live in peace. For it is truth, Jesus himself, in which we live and move and have our being. Jesus himself said, and he meant himself when he said this, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Let's pray. Mighty God, our Heavenly Father, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, we thank you for reminding us how important it is to know your truth, to live by it, to apply it, to recognize it when it's missing. Lord, we ask that you'll fill us and use us by your word and spirit to be your ambassadors, to represent you as you would have us do. Lord, we thank you that you love us so much, that you have told us things that are hard for us to hear, and you have told us things that are easy for us to hear, because you have completely and fully and thoroughly told us the truth. Lord, we exalt you in it. We praise you. We thank you in the truth that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name, in truth, we pray. Amen.